Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. You're in for a great treat as we welcome a dear friend and radio pastor Colin Smith back to the broadcast. And we're going to talk about a fresh perspective on the crucifixion. You read in Luke in chapter 23, verse 32, it says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And we're going to jump into the story. Ted, the story that we're going to share, Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross, has actually been produced into a radio drama and also a one-act play. Stephen Baldwin has voiced it. We're going to air it this weekend, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Time.
It's a great thing to listen to on Easter Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
So we're looking forward to today's conversation. I do want to just mention right up top that we do have three copies of the little book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of Thief on the Cross, written by Colin Smith. And you can sign up for that with a phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And it may be that maybe you have a question about the crucifixion story and, you know, may just want to get some pastoral insight. Pastor Colin would love to talk with you. Let me introduce him. We'll get him on with us again. Colin Smith is senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a vibrant multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And the mission of the church calls Christians to put down deep roots in the Word of God, live life through the Spirit of God, and bring forth fruit in the service of God. And, of course, you hear Colin every day here on Unlocking the Bible on Faith Radio. He's on hundreds of stations. And we're so honored to have him with us. And he's written several books, born and raised in Edinburgh, Scotland. And so, you know, if for no other reason, we just love talking with Colin, because it always sounds good. Colin has authored the book that we're going to reference today, Heaven, How I Got Here. Colin, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me on your program.
So this is one of those kind of interesting Easter stories that we maybe wouldn't typically look at. In fact, if you look at Luke's gospel, you kind of brush by the verses here and not really thinking too much about it. But I'll let you tell the story in a bit. But I'm interested first, I guess, just in the idea of focusing on heaven. Still a lot of interest in heaven, it seems like, and probably a fair amount of misinformation. Is the topic of heaven a good way to maybe get into a spiritual conversation?
Yeah, I think it is, because the vast majority of people in America think, hope, or believe that they're going to go there, and yet very many have no clear understanding of what it takes to get there. And that's really why the story of the thief on the cross, I think, is such a wonderful story for opening conversation. Many people have the idea that if we're going to get into heaven, it's going to be by living a good enough life. And, of course, the thief on the cross who was next to Jesus plainly had not done that. And so when Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, it's quite clear that he wasn't going to get in on the basis of having lived a good enough life. And so that opens up the question of, well, how did he get into heaven? And that gets us into the story of God's marvelous grace, which is the basis on which any person can come to have the assurance of everlasting life. So I think it's a great subject, and it's a great way to open a conversation.
Well, we do have to, just for those that haven't heard the story, I know we've talked about it, it's been out for a couple of years now, but just wondering, when we think of Easter, it's, you know, the cross, Jesus' death, heaven probably isn't the first thing that comes to mind. Was this something that you developed as a way to come up with another presentation for an Easter message? I mean, I'm sure there's the challenge, you know, every pastor faces of Christmas and Easter to come up with a fresh new perspective.
Well, you know, It's always a challenge to be fresh, but I tell you, when you're at Christmas and Easter and you're speaking about the coming of God himself into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, and then you're speaking about him giving himself for us and then rising from the dead in triumph. I mean, the world has never heard any greater good news than these marvelous truths. So to be able to proclaim them freshly is just marvelous. So, the book really came out of my own experience over many years, Neil, in finding that this story was perhaps the simplest way to open a gospel conversation. I've used it many, many, many times, just telling the story of the thief on the cross. So then the idea came to me, what if the thief was to tell the story in his own words? We know that he went to heaven because that was the promise of Jesus. So what if he was to look back on that last day of his life that began in a cell, was the most excruciating day of pain as he himself was crucified? He began the day angry because Matthew tells us that the two robbers, the two thieves on either side of Jesus were both hurling abuse at him. So here's this guy that's hurling abuse at Jesus. There's hatred, there's anger, there's pain, all in that story. And yet, in some way, he seemed to have a change of heart, perhaps an awareness that he was right next to eternity itself. And he reaches out to Jesus, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So there was a transformation of this man's life and of his eternity. It was Spurgeon who said, this man had breakfast with the devil and he had supper with a savior. That's quite a transformation in one day, to begin in a cell and to end in the presence of Christ in glory. But that's an amazing story. So I tried to capture that with him looking back on his story from the perspective of being with the Lord in heaven.
You know, we're probably rightfully leery about maybe adding or taking away from the scriptures, and we've maybe all read novels or stories that just quite didn't ring true. Were you concerned about that? You know, you're developing a story out of basically just a sentence or two.
Yeah, and the difference here is that this is not an attempt to describe heaven imaginatively. There's nothing of that sort there. What this is a person reflecting on how it was that they got to enter into heaven, and therefore it's a reflection of God's grace. It's a presentation of the gospel. What we did was put on a fictional front end, which was, you know, how did this man become a criminal? He seems to have known about the fear of God, because he says at one point to the thief on the other side of Jesus, don't you fear God? So there was something in his background. I've made the assumption, I think reasonably, that he was Jewish, that he was brought up with a knowledge of the Old Testament law, that perhaps from his parents he had some knowledge of the fear of the Lord, but he rebelled against that. He became a criminal. He became a thief, and perhaps his robbery was aggravated because to be crucified, perhaps there was violence also involved. We don't know, but so what I did was to put a kind of front end on the story as to how he became a thief, but then take up from the Gospels the most critical scene in his life, where right at the end he encounters Jesus Christ, is angry towards him, but then has this amazing change of heart and the promise of Christ opening heaven for him. And that's, of course, a marvelous way of telling the story of God's grace.
Yeah, well, of course, he says, you know, don't you fear God? He said, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man's done nothing wrong. So he understood the legal system well enough.
Yes, he did. And he took ownership, which is one of the signs of genuine repentance, that he recognizes the wrong that he's done. And the other aha moment for me here, Neil, was just the realization that the thief died after Jesus. And we know that for sure, because when they came, the soldiers came to break the legs of the criminals, our Lord had already died. And that was why they put thrust the spear into his side. So what that means is that the thief not only heard the wonderful words that Jesus spoke to him, today you will be with me in paradise, But he also heard all the subsequent words of Jesus that were spoken from the cross. He experienced the darkness that came over Calvary and over the whole land. And he heard the Lord Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was still breathing when Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. He committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. So the thief was in a unique position, as it were, to tell the story of all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And that's what the book is about. It's a very simple presentation of the gospel through the eyes of the thief on the cross, who was saved by God's grace at the last moment of his life. And what I've been so thrilled about is to hear story after story of people who've come to a fresh understanding of the gospel as a result of this little book. And so we're praising God that it's touching and changing people's lives today.
We've got some copies of this wonderful little life-changing book available here on Connecting Faith. We'll give those away at the top of the hour, do a little drawing. You can sign up for one right now with a phone call at 877-933-2484. Maybe that there's someone that you know and love and care about that doesn't really fully understand God's grace, and this may be the story that could help just unlock their understanding more fully. Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief and the cross. From Pastor Colin Smith, senior pastor of The Orchard in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and his preaching ministry shared throughout the daily radio program Unlocking the Bible here that you hear daily on Faith Radio. And you can find out more about that ministry, unlockingthebible.org. In fact, there's a new DVD that is just out with this great story, Heaven, How I Got Here. In fact, we're going to air the radio drama version of it coming up Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central Time on Faith Radio. And we'll talk more with Colin Smith as we get into the story, Heaven, How I Got Here. Join us. Sign up for a copy of the book at 877-93-FAITH. Woke up one morning knowing that it was your last day on earth. That's what happened to the thief on the cross who died a few feet from Jesus. Heaven, How I Got Here is the story told in his own words as he looks back from heaven on the day that changed his eternity and the faith that can change yours. Talking Heaven, How I Got Here with Colin Smith, Colin, pastor, senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. He's the Bible teacher on Unlocking the Bible. And Colin, this is one of those amazing stories, and I guess the more we read it, it reminded me as I read it again that, you know, through all the centuries that Christianity has developed and grown in the church, it seems like we still don't fully get grace. We just don't understand it as much as we should.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that's because grace cuts against what seems natural to us. It's not natural. It is God breaking the boundaries of reaping what we sow and doing something that's better. And it is the most marvelous good news that in God's great kindness, there's something other than getting what we deserve. And, you know, when the thief on the cross says to the guy, the other side of Jesus, we are getting what our deeds deserve. Boy, without grace, that's just the bottom line. And with if that's the bottom line, none of us has the hope of everlasting life, not in any degree at all. So grace cuts into and cuts across us simply getting what our deeds deserve. And the marvel of what Jesus Christ did on the cross is that that he got what we deserve. Mm. And we therefore enter into what he deserves, and all that is his becomes ours. And faith in Jesus Christ is the bond that makes him ours and ours his, and that great transfer takes place, and we enter into all that is his.
You know, as I was reading it, it reminded me that, you know, another story in the Gospels, Jesus tells the parable of the workers starting work at different points of the day, but they all get the same wages. You know, somehow it doesn't seem fair, I guess, to us, does it?
Yeah, I know. And thank God for that, for the fact that God doesn't operate on what's fair. The wages of sin is death. There's fair. But the second half of that marvelous verse in Romans, the gift of God is eternal life. Once you're into gift, you're no longer into fair. So thank God that we're in the world of gift. We're in the world of grace. And that's what the story of the thief on the cross, that's what Easter points us to. And it is the most marvelous good news. And it's not easy for folks to get it. You're absolutely right, Neil, because it's just not how we naturally think. But that's why Christians have such a joy and such a privilege in proclaiming this great gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ.
So some may just maybe hear this conversation, say, you know, is it possible to get to heaven without ever living the Christian life? Clearly, the thief on the cross didn't have any of that opportunity.
Well, the danger of putting it that way is, of course, there are ways of stating things that can easily lead to misunderstanding and distortion, and kind of putting it, if a person were to put it as starkly as that, it's kind of taking a step towards, hey, the Christian life doesn't matter, and so forth and so on. Clearly, if a person is in Christ and a person has come to love and trust Christ, what flows from that reality is that we live for Christ, and he died that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us. But there's a very important point here at stake, and that is, whatever is said about the Christian life, we don't enter into heaven because we did a good job on living the Christian life. And I think that's a point at which many Christians lose their joy and lose their assurance, that it's easy for us to look to how well we're doing in the Christian life as if that was ultimately the thing that qualified us for heaven. And it isn't. We enter by God's grace and by God's grace and by his grace and mercy alone. And what that does is it frees us for the pursuit of a Christian life, not in an attempt to earn the reward of heaven, but to live with joy and with gratitude and freedom and love for Jesus Christ, who is the one who has freely given us all things.
Talk about the words in Jesus' statement that are so profound, you know, today and with me and paradise. Talk about that sentence.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, the immediacy of it. Today you will be with me in paradise. See, the thief said, remember me. So I imagine that in his mind, from that word remember, he must have had some sense that, you know, whenever Jesus came into his kingdom would be some remote time in the ethereal future, and perhaps from the mists of history, Jesus might remember him long into the future. And Jesus' response is very striking. It's like, hey, you don't need to worry about me remembering. Today, you are going to be with me in paradise. Now, what that points us to, of course, is the wonderful truth for every Christian believer that's stated wonderfully by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. For us to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. An immediate translation for a Christian believer into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Consciously there, joyfully there, with him as the thief was with him, in the joyful presence of the Lord himself. No great delay, no long soul sleep or unconsciousness. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And every time I conduct a funeral for a Christian believer, and there are grieving folks there, and they're saying, now what about my loved one now? This is the most marvelous truth. Consciously, joyfully, immediately, in the presence of the Lord. That's the gift of the Lord to all of his children. Yeah.
and to just to know that there is this hope that we have so clearly stated. I was just listening to some of our conversations earlier this week here on Faith Radio, and just getting a better picture of this scene. And I guess I maybe hadn't realized it fully, but you know, the crosses weren't, but you know, 25 feet high. I mean, this was a very intimate setting, and you know, yeah. the people would have been very close and seeing this all and being able to hear Jesus' words and the words of the thief as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Neil. And I think, you know, when you think, for example, at the mocking of the Lord Jesus, the Gospels tell us about those who gathered around and were shouting abusively at him. I mean, it's unimaginable, isn't it? Here's the Lord in all of this physical agony, not to mention all that he endured when the darkness came. But during our Lord Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. He was crucified, Mark tells us, at 9 o'clock in the morning. That was the third hour. And then for 3 hours, there was light. And during that time, there was all this mockery and, you know, come down from the cross. And, you know, he said he was the Son of God. Let him save himself. So that was, as you're pointing out, Neil, it was abuse hurled at Jesus from a few feet away. And the two thieves on either side were near enough to be able to interact with each other. One thief shouting over Jesus to the other one on the other side, "Don't you fear God? We're receiving what we deserve," and so forth. And then him being able to turn just a little to Jesus, just a few feet away from him, perhaps his hands just a few feet from the thief's hands, and saying, "Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And how that transformed his eternity. What a scene that was. And then when the darkness came, and the absolute panic that that must have brought, and the darkness lasted for a further 3 hours, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it would have been at three that Jesus, at the depth of this darkness, says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then, "It is finished. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." And then he breathes his last. And then there's this earthquake. And then in the temple, the tearing of the curtain. And Jesus has accomplished everything that he came to do. It is finished. The thief's still living, but he's putting his trust in a Savior who's already gone ahead of him into the presence of the Lord.
It is finished. The battle is over. Praise God for that. We're talking Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. It is a powerful story and a fresh recounting of this Easter reflection that hopefully we'll be considering here in the next hours and days. We're talking with Colin Smith today. Colin is a senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And he is also, of course, widely heard on the broadcast Unlocking the Bible. And we're going to hear more from Colin in just a few moments. Invite you to call in. We've got some copies of Heaven, How I Got Here, this wonderful little book. We'll do the drawing at the top of the hour. You can sign up for that at 877-933-2484. This would be something to really encourage you and your faith, and maybe introduce someone else to faith. There are some questions. How is it possible that we could experience paradise with our Savior? 877-93-FAITH. More with Colin Smith coming up. And by the way, just a reminder, again, we're airing Heaven, How I Got Here, the radio drama, this Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. So be listening for that. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. We may be so familiar with story that we don't fully comprehend the scandal of it. And we're getting a fresh perspective today as we talk with Pastor Colin Smith about his wonderful little book called Heaven, How I Got Here. It's the story of the thief on the cross. And I encourage you sometime here in the next few days to read through the gospel accounts again, because the gospel accounts are primarily about the last week. And so you get some great insight again. And Colin pastors the Orchard. It's a multi-site church in the suburbs of Chicago, and he's also heard daily here on Unlocking the Bible on Faith Radio. And Colin, just say a little bit about, you know, that the scandal of grace that, you know, we somehow, you know, think, well, we're not as bad as the thief on the cross, but maybe on the other hand, we think, well, we, you know, there's no hope for us. I mean, there's kind of that gamut, I guess. Or on the one side, we think, well, we're not so bad. And the other side says, well, we can never be good enough.
Yeah, that's good, Neil. And so the story of the thief on the cross for sure addresses the person who says, there isn't any hope for me, it's too late, it's too far gone. I mean, here's this person who is at the end of life. There's nothing that he can do to change the path that he has been on. And yet God's grace reaches him. And so one of the great things about this story is that for the person who says, there isn't hope for me, this story says, no, 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 in Jesus Christ there is hope for you, and there's hope for you even now. And so that's the one side of it. The other side of it is that it really undermines the person who says, well, you know, I've lived a good life, I'm not like the thief on the cross. And the person who says, therefore, I hope to get into heaven because I've lived a good life. Now, the story of the thief on the cross really blows that out the water, because it's quite clear that he did not get into heaven by living a good life, and that the entrance that any person therefore has into heaven is not on that basis, and that if we're trusting living a good enough life, we're trusting the wrong thing. What we have to do is to look to Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for us. I mean, if living a good enough life was the way to get into heaven, why in the world would Jesus have died on the cross? Why would the Son of God have come into the world? The reason that he endured this scandal, this agony that he endured on the cross, is that there was no other way for a person to enter into everlasting life. That's why Jesus says to some who didn't believe in him in John's gospel, he said, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. So, you know, you may think that your sins are not many, but you're going to die in the sins that you have, and that's going to keep you out of heaven unless you believe in me. But when a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him as the Lord and Savior of our lives, then grace becomes ours as we become his. And that's where the hope of heaven and the promise of heaven begins in a person's life. So this is right at the heart of the story of Easter. And it's the most wonderful story of hope for every person.
You know, talk about the difference between believing in God and fearing God. The thief said, you know, don't you fear God? And, you know, we come across many people say, well, I believe in God, but don't really go beyond that. So say more about that.
Yeah, you know, that phrase in the Bible that recurs so many times, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I found it helpful to understand that the fear of the Lord really speaks to giving weight to God in our lives, the knowledge of the Lord actually carries some weight with regards to all that I believe and all that I pursue and all that I seek to become. Believing, here's the thing. In James, we're told that, you know, if believing is understood simply as kind of signing off on something, I believe that, you know, even the devil believes in God. And so I've no doubt that the thief on the cross had been brought up with a belief in God, but he hadn't lived in any way that had feared the Lord or had given God weight in his life, until suddenly at the end of his life, he comes to this realization, I'm actually going to stand before God who made me, the God of the universe. I'm going to go out of this world, and I'm going to go into the next world, and I'm not ready to meet with God. And so he says to the other guy, well, don't you fear God? And that realization is what makes him turn to Christ and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? It's very, very simple. But that's what I want to encourage people. Don't just settle for a kind of vague notion of belief. Come to terms with the reality of the God who is. And when you do, you'll see the need and the joy of trusting Jesus Christ, who the Father sent into the world, so that you may not be lost, but rather than perish, have everlasting life.
Well, say more about that. You know, the thief could do nothing in terms of works, but he could change his heart, and he clearly did have a change of heart at some point, and all of us need to come to that place. Just say more about that point that we all need to make.
Well, it's very wonderful that the Lord changed his heart, and the Lord does change our hearts as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our calling is to look to him, to trust in him, to believe in him, to ask of him. The marvelous thing is that this Lord Jesus Christ changes the hearts of all who come to him.
Yeah. We're talking about Heaven, How I Got Here. It's the story of the thief on the cross. Colin Smith wrote this book here just a few years ago, and it has since that time just kind of grown in various media ways to express it. In fact, Stephen Baldwin is doing the radio drama. In fact, I know it has a DVD drama of it as well. But just how did Stephen get hooked up with this project?
Yeah, well, our team in Unlocking the Bible got in touch with Stephen, and he read the book, and his heart was gripped by it. And so he has read that so that we have an audio account that the good folks listening to Faith Radio can hear on Saturday, and it's going to be heard very widely around the country and overseas as well over the Easter period. But then what happened after that was as Stephen had become gripped by the story of the thief, it was adapted by Tim Gregory into a one-man play that Stephen performed here at the Orchard 2 years ago and then again last year. So about 10,000 people saw this one-hour presentation, a one-man play in which Stephen portrayed the story of the thief on the cross. It made such an impact that last year he brought a film crew to record this, and it's just been released as a DVD that folks can download or can obtain. And it's a one-hour video of Stephen performing the one-man play, the story of the thief on the cross, Heaven, How I Got Here. So that's available from unlockingthebible.org. And if folks want to come to our website at unlockingthebible.org, you can click from there immediately onto the film, as well as the movie, the audio, the book, and all the rest of it.
You know, as you've seen this kind of grow, this outreach grow, what kinds of response, reaction, reflection do you get as people maybe see and understand the story in a fresh new way?
Do you know, I just had an email this morning from someone in Indonesia. And he had picked up on this, had listened to it. He said, "It has given to me a new sense of the awe of God, and I want to bring this to my parents and friends who don't know Jesus Christ." And that was someone who heard it yesterday in Indonesia. And we're just getting responses regularly from folks who are finding it to be a means of communicating the gospel to people who they love and who may not yet have a clear understanding of God's grace.
You know, it's just interesting that, you know, all the gospel accounts are different in some ways and what they cover, what they share. You know, it's one of those wonderful things that this was actually included in the gospels. It could have easily been left out, just a couple of little sentences.
Yeah, isn't it the great kindness of God that we have four gospels and that the Lord has given us everything that we need for faith and for life, and that includes this wonderful story, which is just a gift to us in terms of nourishing our faith and communicating it to others.
Have you experienced, maybe just as you have read the story again and preparing for this Easter, I mean, just share a bit about maybe how your heart is encouraged as you consider the reality of what Christ has done for us again?
Well, you know, you never come to an end of it. And I suppose this will be the 37th year that I've been preaching at Easter, been so grateful for the privilege of serving two churches, but proclaiming the same gospel throughout these years. And you never come to an end of it. You know, however well you know the story of what Christ has done, the reality of what he has accomplished. He took my sins into his death so that whenever my death comes, I won't be taking my sins into my death. They were already judged there at the cross. And therefore, for me, death is going to be not a passing into judgment, but rather an entrance into everlasting life. And he was silent before the judgment in the house of Caiaphas, so that we as believers, when we enter into the presence of the Almighty, we'll not be without something to say. We'll be able to say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You know, sin had left its crimson stain on me, but Jesus washed it white as snow. You can't get to the end of how good that is. It's life-giving. And so what a marvelous thing to be a Christian believer at Easter and to rejoice in all that Jesus is and all that he's accomplished for all of us.
Colin, God bless you. Thank you so much for your encouraging words today. And I want to encourage all our listeners to check out Heaven, How I Got Here. Hear the radio drama of Stephen Baldwin coming up this Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time. It's a two-hour radio special. It's very powerful. I know you and Steve do a little commentary kind of at times in between, so it'll just help kind of set up the story well. So it'll be a great opportunity to hear.
Well, I hope it's a blessing to all who listen to Faith Radio. So appreciate the partnership with you, Neil, and thanks for the joy of speaking with you and all who are listening to us today.
And we look forward to hearing you again on Unlocking the Bible. Blessings to you, my friend.
And to you. Thank you.
Colin Smith joining us today. Colin is senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a multi-site church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago and, of course, preaching ministry here daily on Unlocking the Bible. And he's joining us today as we talk about Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief and the cross. We've got some copies to give away, and you can sign up now at 877-933-2484.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He walked. Washed it white as snow.
That's the opening of Michael Card's song, Carmen Christi, where he spells out who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And hopefully, as you've listened this week in Faith Radio and continue to listen to the weekend, you'll have a better understanding, again, of Christ's sacrifice for us. I had an opportunity to talk to Michael Card a while back, and he has, of course, written so many great songs, 30 years of recording music and over 31 albums, and he's authored several books. We're going to reference a couple of them here in this short little conversation as we think about the cross.
Your little book, Violent Grace, Meeting Christ at the Cross, really focuses a lot on kind of the paradoxes of the gospel and thinking just even the cross in general. I mean, that it doesn't seem like it necessarily has such a prominent place as it maybe did a generation or so ago.
Yeah, I think you're right. The cross has been sort of emptied of its meaning and of its power. It's just a symbol. You know, it's something that, you know, rock stars, Madonna, you know, can wear a cross around her neck, and it's just sort of a fashion accessory. You know, I don't know what to do about that other than Paul says, you know, he wants to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I think maybe we need to live crucified lives, live lives that define what death to self looks like. You know, I don't really know, but I do wish we could bring meaning back to that symbol.
It does seem that the more that you read about it here in this season, and maybe you're in, you know, doing a devotional of some sort, a Lenten devotional, or just taking time to read the Gospels, I hope you are. But when you understand the suffering, I mean, the bruising and the wounding and the scourging, I mean, it's a pretty bloody account.
Well, Neil, I remember when I was in college, and, you know, you're a little bit arrogant, you know, when you're in college, and I would say, oh, you know, there were certainly people that suffered more physically than Jesus suffered. You know, that Jesus, his suffering was spiritual and emotional. You know, there have been people that have been tortured worse. But when I studied crucifixion and looked at, there's some articles in the Journal of American Medical Association, and there's some pretty good work that's been done on crucifixion. I'm not so sure that there isn't a more painful death than Jesus experienced. I mean, the scourging before the crucifixion, and Jesus may have been scourged twice. I think Pilate may have scourged him once just to satisfy the crowd. He was trying to get Jesus off. He was trying to get them to let Jesus go. And at one point he scourges him just to appease the crowd. But then I think there's a chance, although some people say that he could have been scourged twice because he couldn't have survived two scourgings. But I think there's a chance he might have been scourged twice, because you're always scourged before you're crucified. The Romans always did that to hasten the deaths. And I think the record in the ancient literature is 8 days. There was a story of one man who actually survived hanging on the cross for 8 days. And, you know, we know that Pilate is surprised that Jesus has died, you know, in just a few hours. In fact, that's why he sends, in the Gospel of John, he sends two soldiers to find out if Jesus is really dead.
And they pierced his side rather than breaking his legs, right? That was a key part of it. Yeah.
They stabbed the thieves on either side of Jesus. And as I understand it, this was sort of a killing strike, you know, up through the rib cage up into the heart. And they break the legs of the two others because they're still alive, obviously. But Jesus is already dead, and they stab him through the heart just to make sure.
And at which point John says, right, that this testimony is true, right? Like that, apparently that was an important part, I guess.
Well, and I think the testimony is true because I think the soldier who was there, I honestly believe that the centurion who was in charge of the crucifixion of Jesus became a believer. Because we have this odd little verse in John, you know, the one who has seen this, you know, testifies, and he knows that it was true. And I really do think that that's the testimony of this centurion who actually was responsible for crucifying Jesus. I'm fairly certain that he becomes a part of the early Christian community.
One of the things that caught my attention, I think I was looking through A Violent Grace again, was the root word for what excruciate comes out of crucifixion. Is that right?
Yeah, crucis. Cross. That's the my mentor William Lane used to say. Yeah, that the echo of the agony of the cross is every time we use the word excruciating. The core, the root of that word cruxis or crucis is cross. And so the most painful, the most excruciating, you know, word that we have is connected back to the cross of Jesus.
Speaking of the cross, what's the "it" in "it is finished"?
Yeah, and I think that is a good question. I mean, theologically, I think the "it" is that redemptive suffering, that price that had to be paid for sin. That's the "it." It's finished. What God had asked Jesus to endure, to pay for the suffering for the sin of the world. I think that's the "it," the cup that he'd been given to drink, that cup of suffering, which in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to take away, but he, you know, basically comes back and says, not what I want, but you want what you want. So I think that's what the "it" is. The suffering he has endured has now paid for the sins of the world, for the sins of everyone, not just the sins of those who would accept him, but for the sins of the whole world, which is what gives Jesus the authority to judge the world, which, interestingly enough, he says he doesn't do. In John, he says, I haven't come to judge, I've come to save. So what I believe, Neil, is that we in essence judge ourselves. The price has been paid for the sins of the whole world. Anybody who's listening to the sound of my voice right now, no one goes to hell because of their sin. You go to hell for not accepting the only way to keep from going to hell. You go to hell for not accepting the sacrifice and the paid price that Jesus has provided on the cross. In essence, when Jesus pronounces the sentence in the book of Revelation, it's the sentence that we passed on ourselves by saying no to him. You know, a lot of people want to say now, ooh, God, you know, I don't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell. I don't believe in that God either. But I do believe in a God who loves us so much that he's made it. He's done everything he could possibly do to keep us from being separated from him. And I think that's what Easter's all about.
Just as we know that those familiar words from John 3:16, John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world,
yeah,
but to save the world through him."
Absolutely. And again, there's this popular idea now that, you know, oh, God would never send anybody to hell. Well, obviously God is love, and he would never send anybody to hell. But the point is, when we say no to him, you know, we refuse the only bridge that we have to cross over. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. God does not want us to perish, and he's done everything possible so that we can have life. He loves us so much, he'd rather die than live without us.
Why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? And why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for?
Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain.
Why did there have to be a thorny crown pressed upon his head? It should have been a royal one made of jewels and gold instead.
It had to be a crown of thorns, for in this life we live. For all who would seek to love, a thorn is all the world has to give.
Listening to a little bit of Michael Card with some help from Sarah Groves and one of his great tunes called Why. Think about Jesus suffering. Jesus was condemned so that we could be set free. He was wounded so that we could be healed. He died so that we might have life. Michael Card talking to us about his book, A Violent Grace, Meeting Christ at the Cross. And we also heard Colin Smith talking about his wonderful little book called Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. And as we move through Monday, Thursday, and into Good Friday, hope that you will take time to reflect again on the cross, what Christ has done for us. And be sure to listen Saturday evening for this very special broadcast.
Not many men open their eyes in the morning knowing it's their last day on earth. This is it. This is the day I die. Looking back, the entire day and how it ended still blows my mind.
Based on the book by Colin Smith, Heaven, How I Got Here is the story of the thief on the cross.
There are no words to describe the pain of crucifixion. All I can tell you is that hatred sustained me.
Told in his own words, the thief looks back from heaven on the day that changed his eternity.
Jesus, I said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Clinging to life by a slender thread, I gasped for breath and waited for him to respond.
Don't miss Heaven, How I Got Here.
Listen Saturday evening at 7 on Faith Radio. I hope that you'll be joining with us for that very special broadcast, 7 o'clock Central Time on Faith Radio, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And tomorrow, join us on the Connecting Faith for a very special Good Friday broadcast. We hear from Max Licato, a radio special, Come to the Cross. And then Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, will use Psalm 23 to help us understand living life in view of the resurrection. It's called A Resurrection Life. A couple of very wonderful broadcasts tomorrow on Connecting Faith right here on Faith Radio. Thanks so much for listening, and have a blessed Easter.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast.
These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.